Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Hello, Rita. Are you there?
Kia ora. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Yeah, it's good. Some sunshine would be nice, though, eh?
Oh, nah. Forget about it. Just, like, give in. Submit to the rain.
Totally. Well, don't even look outside anymore.
Tomorrow it is going to rain like you wouldn't believe, apparently.
Oh. Cool. Cool, cool.
Hey, look, Rita, I commute to and from work on my bike. I have got two pairs of saturated shoes by my desk that I just, like, I get saturated on the way here. Then I just can't forget, like, can't just bear putting them on at the end of the day. I'm just, like, getting this pile of wet shoes
so
here.
So awful.
Oh, no, it is what it is. Save the planet.
Yeah.
Have you chucked them in the wash?
Everything here is wet. Like, I got myself a new T-towel out of the drawer the other day, and it was like just a little bit damp, you know. And it's like, that was been and dry. I don't understand.
Hey, at least there's not a water shortage. Everyone remembers like 2 years ago, and
silver lining.
Like, yep,
true.
It's good for the garden.
So this week, speaking of silver linings, I don't know if there is one on this, but I thought we would have a chat about our huge rubbish problem that we have in Auckland.
Okay, yes. What sort of rubbish are we
why
talking?
It's kind of coming to a head. So there's a few things going on that are in the news at the moment. So for those of you that are following it, there is a Dome Valley landfill decision that's due out of the Environment Court, but I'll talk about that in a minute. And then also the mayor talking about waste to energy projects. So I thought that I'd have a little bit of a chat about our rubbish issue and we've got to this place. So like most cities, we do use, or you know, most cities actually have this problem, to be fair. So we produce about 200,000 tonnes of waste every year as a city. And just to give you some idea, that's about 300 trucks going to Waitakere landfill transfer every day, so you know, that's a lot. And it's all pretty badly, like, you know, it's 65% of it, they said, is kind of like bad waste, like it's stuff we could be doing better with. We don't need to be throwing it out the way that we are. So, and so that's one of the reasons why they've put in place those composts that you may be getting if you're in an urban area. So 45% is food waste and 10% is sort of green waste, like lawn clippings and leaves and that sort of thing.
Do people put do people put lawn clippings in the bin?
Yeah, I think so.
What? Really?
Yeah. And bits of branches and...
What?
Yeah, we're like, so I think listeners know I live in the white party.
Like one lawnmower catch would like fill up the whole bin. Why would you do that?
I don't know. But I live in the Waitakere, and quite often, if you're on the Tararangi page, you will know this, people will complain about what to do with their, like, kneecap fronds or what to do. Quick. And so, like, I'm just like, that's what the bush is for.
Rita, can I just, I'm just going to run a quick poll with the BFM listenership out there.
Here we go.
People that mow their own lawn, who puts their lawn clippings on the berm outside their house? Is that
on the berm?
Is that okay? Is that, does anyone else do that?
I mean, isn't that council property technically?
Well, council doesn't mow the berm.
True.
You put your lawn clippings on there if you want, right?
It's their problem now.
I just use us as mulch.
Just put them on the berm.
But we don't have a large lawn area, so.
Mow your lawns, put your lawn clippings on the berm. I'm not saying I do it, but.
Hot tip. I've seen a friend do it. There's a 13% that could be recycled. And I read this and I thought, huh. I mean, maybe it's something I did when I was younger, but I thought that listeners might be interested in this. Mm-hmm. If you have a party and at the end of the party, you go around and you collect the glass bottles and the cans and the whatever else you've been drinking in a plastic bag, and then you put that entire plastic bag of your hundreds of beer bottles into your recycling bin, the entire bin will be thrown in the tip because of the plastic bag you've put them in. So empty out the plastic bag into the recycling bin because they said that's one of the biggest things they find, which I thought was quite interesting. But in a nutshell, we have 8 years left of tip space in Auckland. So the clock is ticking, and when I was at uni, we did a project on actually trying to find somewhere for a new landfill. And the process itself and then going for consent is actually a really long process. So 8 years might sound like a lot if you're 20. But if you are a bit older, you know, it goes very quickly. Mm. And also, when you're in the world of bureaucracy, it's not a lot of time at all. So we've got a lot of work to do. And the issue is that they've identified, so you've got to find a bunch of things for the landfills. You've got to find, like, places that are geologically, like the right conditions, that they're far enough distance away from, like, neighbours and that sort of thing. Mm. And also that they're not too far from the centre of the city, because obviously you don't want to be trucking things for 2 hours in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, makes, you know, limits where you can, and I guess the land has to be somewhat affordable. So they identified Dome Valley, and the they actually own a bunch of land up there. So I don't know exactly the structure of it, but what they're wanting to do is create a mega dump up there, which is 60 hectares, 26 million cubic metres of space, and that will be ready for 2026-28. But it's currently in the Environment Court with Fight the Tip, who are concerned about the leachate, which is kind of like all the toxic stuff that kind of goes to the bottom and the sides and leaches out, making its way into the waterways. And even though we do line our tips, which, by the way, is why compost doesn't break down in there, because we line it with this, like, thick plasticky rubber stuff, and then at the end of it close it up, so it's actually like there's no air getting in there, so nothing can actually really break down. Mm-hmm. But there is still leachate, and we have had instances where that leachate has still got out even of line tips, so there is a risk. And for those people that, you know, that are fighting against it, they're really concerned about the Kaipara Harbour, and there's also some tributaries and stuff around there too, so understandably quite concerned, and I think that decision is due any day, so we'll keep a bit of a watching brief on that as to what will happen next. And I guess that's probably why the mayor, and he's been working with, well, I'm sure it's not the mayor, just himself, I'm sure there's lots of them, he just likes to talk quite a lot. But the Northland Council and Auckland Council are looking at a waste energy plant.
I reckon. So, this is the future. It feels like everyone talks about Scandinavia as being the place to get
Sweden,
educated,
right?
And like burn rubbish and be clean and green.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I think one of the things you've got to got to understand about the waste energy thing is that it's really expensive. So
that's okay though. Don't we have to invest if we want to, you know, save the planet and save Tamaki Makaurau? Invest in rail, invest in public transport, invest in education.
The fear is that you end up doing something a bit cheaper and not as environmentally friendly as it probably should be. So, you know, there's some concerns around that. But yeah, I mean, I think we're going to have to. Because, I mean, like, how many, I feel like we'll look back on this in 200 years' time if we're around. Not us, but, you know, our children's children. And they'll go, oh, my God, they used to dig holes in the ground and put their rubbish in it. What about that? Like,
I mean, our forefathers probably, you know, dug holes, shat in them, and then covered it up, right? So it's like,
oh, I think they used to bring carts around.
All right.
Like, you'd, and collect your poo, and then they'd take it away in, like, a cart.
Right.
Quite a funny history about it, actually. But anyway, prior to that, they used to just biff it out the window onto the street. So, right. I mean, and we look at that and we go, ugh. So I feel like we will do a similar thing with the holes in the ground. So, yeah, you're right. We do need to invest in this. But, you know, I guess it's just the realisation that that's going to cost a lot more.
Do we know how much we would be looking at for a power plant that burns rubbish?
Realistically, the one I was looking at and is kind of held up as being what we would need, it's like $1 billion. But they have got a case at the moment that they're looking at, which was based on a South Island, business case, for a $350 million plant, which is quite interesting. I thought, well, that's affordable. To be fair, $1 billion long term, you know, I mean, how much does the rail loop cost?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you do have to go, oh, it's just hard because people are already feeling it. And you go, okay, cool, well, you know, that, what do you pay, $4.50 or whatever for your rubbish? Like, all of a sudden, in order to cover the cost of doing this, we're going to have to pay God knows what, you know. So, I mean, as it stands, we're not covering the cost of our rubbish tips. So, so it's just a tricky one. On the upside, it's that business case for the South Island was going to produce about 35 megawatts, which is enough to power about 55,000 homes a year from the calculations I did. So, you know, I guess it's something, you know. But yeah, I guess we need to do something, and you know, education's right up there as well, right? Like, we need to be a bit more mindful about
top of mind. So, Rita, someone's just said, I think urban rubbish mountains fronting motorways would be a good start to people. Would be a good start so people see how much rubbish we create. Just line the motorways with mountains of trash.
That's a really good point. If you put your rubbish away and then it goes away and ta-da, like magic.
Yeah.
You know, like there's, you know, I've spoken to people about flushing. You know, there's no such thing. If the listeners don't know this yet, there is no such thing as a flushable wipe. It's not a thing. How they can still market it is beyond me. And I did a tour to a treatment plant, and there was just, like, all these flushable wipes that were, like, blocking it all up. And so there's somebody that full-time, their job is to just kind of get rid of all these flushable wipes. And I'm just thinking, this is absolutely nuts. And most people don't realise that because it says it on the box, flushable wipe. So, you know, I think that there's lots of education that could happen. And, yeah, having it, I mean, you know, I don't know, it's, having the problem is that the entranceway to the motorways are all highly valued lands. So I don't know. You know, that's why we'd like to just fill up valleys, the Dome Valley, you know, filled with rubbish. It's, but look, what we need to do is, I think, personally, like a mixed approach. So we probably do need to find some new landfills, but we really do need better education. We really do probably need to be investing in some sort of waste to energy plant. And what we come up with, consumption needs to be at the core, and not just for us as consumers, which is important. Why on earth is it cheaper to buy a three-pack of baked beans that's wrapped in plastic than three individual
that's
cans?
That's crazy.
It's fucking nuts.
That is the craziest shit that I see at
the
supermarket.
It is the craziest shit. And I don't understand why the government can't simply put in...
Come on,
Waddies!
Come on!
I know! And I tell you what, if the rubbish and the you know, if that doesn't get you, what gets you is trying to fucking get the cans out of that plastic, because it's really
plastic sucks. I love baked beans as well, but I hate that.
You know, we probably need to move. I mean, rubbish is probably a really easy one for us to move to a user pays on, because you have to kind of realise that your rubbish isn't going anywhere. The problem with that is lower income families that can't afford it, well, you know, they will have no choice. So, you know, we need to somehow figure that bit out. You know, and when we do look at these tips and these waste to energy schemes, we need to be modelling against worst case climate change, because at the moment they're not. They're modelling against kind of like the lower, like the best case climate change, which is a bit of a worry. And then our cost benefit models do need to really look at a proper balance. At the moment, they'll overestimate the value of creating jobs, and those jobs never all fully get created, or they'll be part-time or whatever, and they underestimate the environmental impact. So, and then, so that's why a tip looks a bit better on paper than, say, waste to energy projects, because, you know, actually long-term, waste to energy is probably a cheaper option. It's just that, you know.
The upfront cost is so much.
So we just need to get those cost-benefit models right, and we just need to get really hard on plastic. Like, come on. We've been fucking doing about this for ages.
Piss off. It sucks.
Just piss off. Hey. Especially unnecessary plastic.
Yeah. Hey, Rita, thanks so much for this rubbish chat.
Yeah. Keep trash talk. I love that. Great.
Okay.
You guys have a good week.
Thank you so much. We'll speak to you in a fortnight's time, Rita Steele.
Sounds good. See
Thank
ya.
You. Okay,
that was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.